The headline on a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Sunday provides today's big question. School choice could expand. Cap on Milwaukee students may rise. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, December the 29th. Do you think the school choice program in Milwaukee, which gives taxpayer-funded vouchers to a limited number of parents who want to send their children to private schools, including religious schools, should expand? Should the cap of 22,500 students be increased in Milwaukee? And should the program be expanded to other parts of the state? Some cities mentioned as possibilities are Beloit, Racine, and Green Bay, before perhaps expanding the program statewide. So, it's today's big question. Should Wisconsin's school choice program expand? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. As we do every Wednesday at this time for our big question debate, we have two guests with different viewpoints to discuss the issue. Joining us, Brett Healy, president of the MacGyver Institute. He supports expanding school choice. Good morning.
Morning, Joy.
And also with us, Bob Peterson, founding editor of Rethinking Schools, and he is a fifth grade teacher in the Milwaukee School District. He opposes an expansion of the school choice program. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, as I mentioned, our discussion is prompted by this article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It says in the first paragraph, Republicans who take power on January the 3rd hope to make changes to the school choice program that could include lifting the cap on the number of choice students in Milwaukee and bringing the voucher program to other areas of the state. Why, Brett Healy, would that be a good idea?
Well, I think when you take a look at some of the continuing problems that we're seeing in Milwaukee, and some of the other problems that have not been discussed in other parts of the state, like Racine, Green Bay, Madison, specifically when you deal with the achievement gap and some other testing problems, I don't think there's any surprise that there is discussions at the state level of trying to give more parents the freedom to choose educational options that they think best fit their child's learning. And so I think this upcoming session will be an exciting time, and you'll see quite a bit of reform and new and innovative ideas discussed at the state level.
Mm-hmm. And Bob Peterson, why would you be opposed to expanding school choice?
Yes, I'm opposed. You know, I've worked with children in Milwaukee for 30 years. I spend every day with 10 and 11-year-olds, and I'm definitely opposed to expanding the Milwaukee Voucher Program. It's really a misguided program. The program has cost taxpayers of Wisconsin over $750 million, and it's failed to deliver on its promise to improve education in Milwaukee. The voucher program, it's diverted both money and attention away from the important task of improving public schools and serving all students. So I think taxpayers should speak out to their legislators and not allow hundreds of millions of public dollars to be given to private schools, mainly religious ones, that have little public accountability.
So it has not worked in Milwaukee, Brett Healy.
Well, I don't think that's true. I think we're in the process right now of a rigorous and comprehensive evaluation program of the choice program, led by a group of academic researchers, Dr. Wolf from the University of Arkansas and Professor John Witte at University of Wisconsin-Madison are in the middle of a multi-year evaluation program. One of the early findings that has been reported is since the inception of the choice program in Milwaukee, you've seen test scores and other academic measures rise in the public schools. And the notion that competition forces all of the schools to meet what
Shouldn't the study be completed and the evidence be clear before expanding it?
Well, I think you have an initial report on several years worth of data that shows that it is working in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. So, clearly, we need to not only with the choice school, but with all schools, we need to make sure that there are clear standards and a way to close down ineffective or failing schools. And while the choice schools get a lot of the attention, there are many schools at MPS that have not been living up to standards and have failed to educate children for a long time, and yet there are no consequences for those schools.
Bob Peterson, why blame the voucher program for problems with Milwaukee Public Schools?
Well, first of all, I just want to correct something. I mean, in terms of the test data that has been collected for the last 20 years, never has the public had the ability to look at the test data for an individual voucher school and see how they're doing. For 20 years, no accountability. It is true now that some of the test data is being funneled to a group in Arkansas, and they in turn are making comparisons. And what they found, according to their reports and reports in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, is that there's basically similar academic results in the public schools are a little ahead in mathematics achievement growth. But the promise 20 years ago was that this was going to do a better job than the Milwaukee Public Schools, and it just hasn't been the case. What it has done is taken tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, away from the public schools and created really a two-tier system. You have to understand that the voucher schools, even though they say it's a parental choice, it's really school choice. The schools choose which students. Not initially, they don't discriminate as they come in, but in terms of who's counseled out, in terms of who's expelled. And because there's no open meetings or open record laws that apply to these private institutions, many of which are religious, we don't know the number of kids who are expelled. We don't have those records. It's not open to the public. And thus, we see in the voucher schools, they service very few special needs kids. Maybe 2% of their students are special needs. And in the public schools, it's up to 18, nearly 20%. You have more special students who need to learn English as a second language in the public schools. You have more difficult to educate kids, basically, in the public schools, because those students who don't succeed according to whatever standards the vouchers have, voucher schools, and we don't know what they are, they're pushed out into the public. The public schools serve everyone.
Mm-hmm. Brett Healy?
Well, I think testing scores have always been available to the people who matter the most, parents.
But why not to the public? Why not release them to the public?
And it's part of the school choice demonstration project, as you admitted. So there's plenty of information out there, and the results are showing, as Bob said, that similar gains between choice and public school children when they're matched for demographics and other factors. And this notion that somehow no one knows what's going on at a school is just not true.
But you could go on to the Milwaukee Public School website. You can look at any put in any school's name.
So,
you can find out exactly what the test scores were, a lot of other information in terms of attendance, dropouts, other things. And you can't do that for the voucher schools. And it's sort of ironic in this time when the Republicans are talking about accountability, and transparency, it doesn't apply to this multi-million-dollar program that the taxpayers are funding.
Well, it applies to the most important people in this equation, and that's the parents. The parents,
but we're all
know. Well, the parents know, and they're the most important. I mean, transparency to a government agency doesn't matter when compared to transparency and openness to the parents.
So you would argue, say, if we have a health program, if there's only transparency
I'm not talking about a health program, I'm talking about education in Milwaukee. Let's take a look at MPS. Earlier this year, the McIver Institute reported that 19 individual schools within MPS ran deficits in their yearly budget of over, in excess of $200,000. If this was a school in the choice program, DPI would be stepping in to issue sanctions and start the process of kicking the school out of the program. What has happened to the schools in MPS that ran deficits last year?
You know what's happened? I'll tell you what's happened. The school board and the administration requires those schools to go on a very strict budget where they have to pay back by taking out of the next year's budget a huge chunk of money to pay back that overspending. It's all available because it's a public institution. You can go and talk and find out for each school. I know Roosevelt Middle School is one of those schools you're talking about, and they have to take money from this year's budget to pay that back so that there's not that problem. And after that happens a couple of years, principals are learning to be much, much better in terms of how to handle that. What my point is, in our public system, we have accountability for everyone. It's not just the parents at Roosevelt or the parents at another school that know this. It's the entire public. And I think that should be true in all publicly funded programs in this country, education, health. It's not just the people who receive the services. It's also the people who pay for the services. And that is the taxpayers. They deserve that open accountability.
Bob Peterson is the founding editor of Rethinking Schools and a fifth grade teacher in the Milwaukee School District. He is speaking out against an expansion of the Milwaukee School Choice Program, the program that allows students to receive taxpayer-financed vouchers to attend private schools, including religious schools. Governor-elect Scott Walker and some Republican lawmakers would like to expand the school choice program, and it is today's big question. Speaking in favor of expanding the school choice program is Brett Healy, president of the McIver Institute. We welcome your questions or the points that you would like our guest debaters to discuss at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Later in the hour, at the end of the debate, we will open up the lines to give you an opportunity to sound off on today's big question. Should the school choice program be expanded in Wisconsin? You can also vote on that question online. You'll find a link on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and you can also go to WPR.org. Every week, every Wednesday, for our big question debate, we put a online poll out there so we can see how you what you think about this issue. Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be foggy this morning in southern Wisconsin, otherwise partly cloudy for all of the state today with highs today in the 30s. Tomorrow, cloudy with some widespread fog, rain, and drizzle with high temperatures tomorrow in the mid-30s in the north, getting into the lower 40s in the south. And then on Friday, again, very, very mild for this time of year. High temperatures ranging from the 30s to around 50 in the south on Friday with rain. Widespread fog and rain likely on Friday. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock this morning, we'll talk with the author of a book on reading, The Lost Art of Reading, Why Books Matter in a Distracted Time. We'll talk about that coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, it's today's big question debate. Should Wisconsin's school choice program be expanded? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our first caller is Jim in Sheboygan. Hi, Jim.
Good morning. Happy New Year, everyone.
Yes.
I almost ran off the road when I realized one of your guests was in defense of the Milwaukee public school system with roughly a 50% graduation rate and roughly a 50% truancy rate. and all the little games they play with, you know, free pizzas on the day the state does the head count just to increase dollars. I agree that parents are the ultimate responsibility. And frankly, the lack of responsibility is the stranglehold of the teachers' union on public school systems. The teachers in public school systems have roughly zero accountability whatsoever. And I think that's the status quo that the bureaucrats prefer, particularly your fifth-grade teacher guest defending a Milwaukee public school system, which frankly should have been shut down years ago.
Well, Jim, so the school choice program, you're a supporter of that, and you think it ought to be expanded in Milwaukee and perhaps expanded statewide, taxpayer vouchers to go to a private school or religious school?
Absolutely, and I noticed that religious school seems to be emphasized.
That's because we're not talking about public school choice. So
I understand that, but there are also private schools that are non-religious, but there seems to be an emphasis by your guests regarding religious schools, as if that's some sort of badge of dishonor. And frankly, in defense of a system, you can talk about 10 years, 15 years of a voucher system in Milwaukee, engaging it. You have decades and decades of a union stranglehold public system in Milwaukee, and the results are crystal clear that should not be a model, nor those who support that, for the future of education in Wisconsin. Perhaps if we take the results of Milwaukee school system and apply that statewide, I don't think anybody would be particularly happy about that.
Well, what do you say to that, Bob Peterson? Well,
first of all, I want to make it's clear that there is a role for private religious schools, but not when they're paid for by public dollars and take away needed money from public schools. And so that's just to be clear. And it's also a fact that about 80% of the students of the 21,000 voucher students do attend religious schools. So it is a predominantly religious program in that sense. In terms of, the caller raises some serious charges against the Milwaukee Public Schools, against the union, and so on and so forth, and that'd take a whole program to unpack. First of all, I invite the caller, if he wants to come and visit a public school in Milwaukee, I can arrange that. I'm not a bureaucrat. I'm in this classroom every day working with my students, 20% of whom have special needs and come from some home situations that are very difficult, and I'd love to have him come down and show how the bureaucracy or the union is prohibiting the services to those kids, because in fact it's not. The union recently, about 10 years ago, created this very innovative program called the TEAM program, which basically takes teachers that are struggling and having problems and working with the administration, counsels them out of teaching or essentially fires them when after 6 months of help they don't shape up. And that's the kind of a program that the union and the administration has been working on. A lot of it has to do, the problems that we have are very deep. They're very complex. They have to do with the fact that over 80% of the students in the Milwaukee Public Schools come from families that are impoverished. There's very few family-sustaining jobs in Milwaukee. There's issues of health. There's a huge mobility problem. And to reduce it all to either bureaucracy or union agreements is very short-sighted.
Joy, can I jump in real quick?
Go ahead, Brett Healy.
We do have one recent example of where the union did stand in the way of progress, and that was with President Obama and his Race to the Top application. Twice Wisconsin failed in its Race to the Top application, and the primary reason for that failure was the unwillingness of the teachers' unions to allow student testing data to be linked to teacher evaluations. And that seems to be a pretty common sense idea that most parents, I think, would agree. Teachers need to have at least part of their evaluation tied to how their students are doing in the classroom.
I get a brief reaction to that, but I'm a little troubled that we're not necessarily debating whether Milwaukee Public Schools are doing a good job or not. We're discussing whether we should expand school choice.
Right. Well, I appreciate that, and I'll reconnect it because, first of all, I know WEAC and others agreed to the change in state law that allowed their testing scores or achievement to be linked evaluation. That's happening here in Milwaukee, just for the record.
For the record, you can go back and look at our failure in the Race to the Top application. And it's not true. The teachers' union did not allow for that change.
Well, a lot of states didn't get that money. I really appreciate what Gwen Moore said, which was it's ridiculous to have the children of Chicago compete against the children of Milwaukee for limited funds. But the fact of the matter is,
a common sense idea is to, during your evaluation of a teacher, at least part of it has to be how the students are doing on state testing.
Let's talk about that in terms of the voucher schools, because it's interesting, because voucher supporters and the Republicans held such influence in Wisconsin state legislature that it wasn't until 2006, 16 years after the voucher program started, that academic teachers in voucher schools required even to be high school graduates. And now, finally, thanks to the WEAC and other unions and conscientious parents, at least voucher teachers have to have a college degree. They still don't have to be certified. You know, it's interesting because the Race to the Top talks about highly qualified teachers and really pushes districts to improve the quality of teaching, which I am all for and teacher unions are all for, although I don't speak for all of them. But here we have the same proponents of school reform, the Republicans, basically for 16 years saying those schools don't even have to have a high school, those teachers don't have to have, even have a high school degree, and now finally they've conceded they have to have a college degree. Why not say that they should be required to have be certified teachers? Why not link all those things that Brett's talking about, make that a part of the voucher law?
Well, we have to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we're going to continue debating today's big question. Should Wisconsin's school choice program expand? This is the voucher program in Milwaukee, which gives taxpayer-funded vouchers to a limited number of parents who want to send their children to private schools. Private schools including religious schools. There is talk about lifting the cap on the number of students who can do this in Milwaukee, and there's talk about expanding the program to other cities in Wisconsin, including Beloit, Racine, and Green Bay. We'll talk more about this after the news. Every week at this time, we pick an issue in the news facing the state or nation and find two guests to debate this big question with you. Today's big question, should the school choice program be expanded in Wisconsin? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:36 on this Wednesday, December the 29th. The Milwaukee Parental School Choice Program allows students to receive taxpayer-financed vouchers to attend private schools. And Governor-elect Scott Walker and some Republican lawmakers have said they would like to expand the program. There are proposals to lift the cap on the number of school choice students eligible to participate in the program in Milwaukee. That cap is right now at about 22,000 students. And some lawmakers would like to bring the voucher program to other areas of the state. Cities mentioned Beloit, Racine, and Green Bay. Should Wisconsin's school choice program be expanded? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And while you're there, you can also vote in our online poll. If you already have made up your mind, there's an online poll, yes or no, should we expand school choice in Wisconsin? That's also available on WPR.org. Our two guests are Brett Healy, president of the MacGyver Institute, who says yes, expand school choice, and Bob Peterson, who is founding editor of Rethinking Schools and a fifth grade teacher in the Milwaukee School District, who says no, don't expand school choice. Here we go, back to the phones. Pat in Chippewa Falls has been waiting. Hi, Pat.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm seldom disappointed in a Wisconsin Public Radio program, but I am disappointed today. I think that this issue is too important to bring on speakers like you have today. They both should be given detention after school, and they have to sit in detention until they come to some kind of a workable resolution. For too long, we've listened to these types of talking points. There is truth in every single statement that has been made, whether they want to recognize it or not. And for the man to discount taxpayers the way he did, is unconscionable. Yes, of course, parents are the primary people who should have adequate data available on any kind of program for education. But who's paying for it, for heaven's sakes? And the man that was having trouble driving his car, he can join them in detention as well. You know, this is not rocket science, and it's not a mystery. Talk to anybody who's raised children who have been successfully gone through an education program, and they can give you the information that's needed to successfully educate a child. Thank you. Please bring on speakers, by the way, who are willing to recognize the faults in their own perspective and the pluses in the opposite speaker. Thank you.
All right, Pat, I'm not going to comment further on that, but I will ask Brett Healy to respond to, are you discounting taxpayers? Shouldn't taxpayers know how well the school choice programs are doing?
No, I don't think I am. I think, obviously, the parents in Milwaukee are taxpayers, and my point was that there is a comprehensive and multi-year evaluation program going on of the choice program, academic researchers that's rigorous, both led by some researchers who have questions about the choice program. So I do think there are plenty of ways for the taxpayers to make sure that they're getting good value, and I think that brings up a point. If the research is showing that academic results are similar between the Milwaukee Public Schools and private schools in Milwaukee, then you do need to start to look at the taxpayer argument. And given the fact that the size of the voucher given to the parents is roughly half of what the state support is for a child at MPS, then you do need to start to ask that question. Are we getting the best value out of MPS? And I think any taxpayer around the state would argue that, no, it's better value to send a child to a private school in Milwaukee.
Let me try to take the focus off of the Milwaukee public school system for a moment, though I understand it is linked. Let me ask Bob Peterson, why would it be a bad idea, in your opinion, to, for example, expand this voucher program to Green Bay, Wisconsin? Why shouldn't parents in the Green Bay school district who aren't wealthy, you know, rich people have the option of sending their kids to private schools, but maybe lower income people do not. Why shouldn't they have the option of choosing a private school that they believe will provide their child with a better education?
Right. I think, well, first of all, people do have that option, except, you know, they're not getting in Green Bay public tax dollars to fulfill that that desire if they so have it. I guess my main perspective on that is that based on the experience in Milwaukee, there is a real danger of setting up a two-tier school system in Green Bay where the special ed students, the harder-to-educate students, the English language learning students would most likely remain in the Green Bay public schools, and the students who go into the private voucher schools would tend to be the more easy-to-educate kids. I'm making some generalizations here based on our clear experience in the Milwaukee public schools, where we have, you know, 20% nearly of the students in Milwaukee, that's like about 16,000 kids with in special needs classes or receiving special education services, where only a handful of students, actually there's more special needs kids in Hamilton High School in Milwaukee on the south side than all the private schools in Milwaukee. And so that's an important argument. I would also argue that, as with any public institution, the private school vouchers, voucher schools should be subjected to open meetings and records laws. This gets back to what Brett was saying in terms of how much information should taxpayers have. In virtually all other public finance institutions, those, that's a bedrock of sound public policy, what's called open meetings, open records. I would hope that the Republicans would include that in any changes they make or expansion to the voucher program, because such open records laws allow public access to information on how decisions are made about spending tax dollars. And it's essential data, such as a school's racial breakdown, the number of special ed students, student expulsions, graduation rates, teacher pay, and student achievement, all that's available in the public sector, but not in this basically new school system that's been set up in Milwaukee, the private one, the private vouchers, and which could conceivably be set up in Green Bay or Racine. And I hope the people of those cities speak to the representatives and oppose it.
Two quick points, Troy. Mm-hmm. The School Choice Demonstration Project, again, led by Dr. Wolf out of Arkansas and Professor Woody at University of Wisconsin-Madison, their research shows that about 9% of the students in the choice program have special needs. So it's not just a handful.
That's not true. I mean, that's based on a survey of parents. They asked the parents at those schools if your students have special needs, and about 10%, a little less than 10% replied, yes, they do. What I'm talking about is federally recognized classification where students have individual education plan, which is basically the basis of the federal laws. And in that case, it's only about 2% to most 3% in the private schools in Milwaukee based on federal data.
Okay, Brett Healy.
I'm not disagreeing with you that there is many children in Milwaukee who have special needs. I'm just responding to your point that you said that there are only a handful at the private schools. I just don't think that's true. But we got to come back to the basic concept here that parents need to be in charge of figuring out what school, what teacher, what principal offers the best academic environment for their child. And I don't know why that's such a scary thought, one that needs to be feared. Freedom in education is a basic principle, and as Joy pointed out earlier, why only rich people should have the ability to choose the school for their children, it just goes against everything that this country was built on.
Yeah, well, the fear is that the money that is going to these vouchers is not being spent in the public schools.
But let's take that. If the child's not in the public school, how is that a loss to the public school?
I'll tell you how.
They're not educating that child anymore, so they're not incurring those costs associated with that child. So, and we also need to talk a little bit about Superintendent Evers and his funding reform plan. He's starting us down this path of a set dollar amount following a child to whatever school they go to. So this is not just a Republican concept.
Yeah, well, Bob Peterson, the fear of public money not going into public schools.
Well, I just wanted to point out that a number of the students in the Milwaukee School Choice Program are getting public funds, and they would have been going. They were going to private schools all along. That is to say, they just because 20,000 students are now in the voucher program in Milwaukee, which makes it like the fourth largest school district, although with no public accountability in the state. Those students all weren't previously in the Milwaukee Public Schools. And in fact, the growth, if you look at the Public Policy Forum's research brief of February 2008, they talk about the growth in the program is due in 2006, 60% of what was due to students who had been in private schools. They weren't leaving public schools. We're just funding private school students.
We have other callers, so let me get Kevin in Oconomowoc on. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning.
Yes, go ahead, please.
I was just curious why we're even having this discussion to the fact that public schools need the money. We should be funding our public schools and holding them accountable, teachers, administrators, everything like that. And if the people want to send their kids to private schools, then that's up to them, and that's their responsibility. Because our schools are lacking funding. If you look at a lot of them, they're in disrepair. They just need everything that they can they get. I don't know. I'm just maybe looking at it different than most people, but I'm just thinking the money should go to the public schools no matter what, and families can afford to send their kids, and that's their choice.
Well, very briefly, as we just talked about this,
yeah. You're talking about a basic freedom, a basic right, and that low. And the choice program is geared towards low-income parents. So we are trying to help the neediest of the population. And again, you keep coming back to the fact that if the child's not present in the classroom at a public school, you really can't say that you're incurring the cost for educating that child anymore. And so, I'm not sure. That passes just a common sense test. If a kid's not in MPS, how are they losing money on that kid?
Bob Peterson.
Well, in fact, they are. I mean, the fact $750 million have gone into private schools and not into anything else in our state. And I know as a teacher in the public school, we no longer have a gym teacher. We no longer have a music teacher in my school. That's true in many schools, not only in Milwaukee, but in rural and suburban areas. There's been cutbacks. And I think it's interesting we say, Brett is saying that freedom to choose is a basic tenet of our country. I would say public education, quality public education, is a foundation of our democracy. And because we want all of our students, all of our children educated in certain ways to bring our country together. And it's true that public education has serious issues, problems, schools do. The question then becomes, do we encourage people to sort of abandon this foundation institution in our society, or just individually go out and try to, as Brett says, well, choose. Parents should have the right to choose their school, principal, and teacher. I'll tell you, if we allowed every parent to choose their individual teacher for their kid, it would be chaos, whether it's a private school or public school. Shows a lack of understanding of how a school would operate. But I think, bottom line, I encourage people in Green Bay, Beloit, Racine, to work hard to improve their public schools, parents to be very aggressive in their schools to make sure that their kids get what they want, for teachers to speak out, and together we need to build and improve our public schools, a foundation of our democracy.
All right, one last call for the debate portion. Tony in Green Bay.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
Tony Lardner is here in Green Bay. I'm a teacher in Green Bay, and, you know, choicing out takes funds and resources away from our public schools. Number one, I think it's absurd to think that competition has increased the test scores in Milwaukee public schools. I'd venture to say that it's the work performed by the educators and the staff that have made the improvements in those test scores and those kids in the Milwaukee schools. We spent all of this time talking about test scores for choice. If parents are going to be the ones that we're going to be accountable for in private schools, then it should also be that way for our public schools. We spend all of this time making our public schools accountable for test scores and funding and teacher evaluation. Why would we not do the same thing if our public schools' funds are going to go to those private schools? Why aren't we taking those funds and saying, let's increase programs like AVID that increase kids of minority and poverty levels' ability to be able to go on to a higher level school? Then why not increase IB programs like we have in Green Bay and increase literacy programs? Let's not take the funds out of our public schools, but let's keep those funds in our public schools so that, like Mr. Peterson said, we can continue to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to be successful and to be successful citizens in our society.
All right, thanks, Tony. Brett Healy, your response to that.
We can't ignore the fact that some parents, some children, have different learning styles, different needs, and I don't know why the basic concept that a parent and a child should be able to figure out what's best for them and their future, why that's such a concept to be feared. It's just we want parents to be involved. We want parents to take an active part in their child's education, as Bob pointed out. And let me say, too, Bob, you should be congratulated and thanked for your hard work every day teaching kids. I mean, there's no more important job. I guess what we're talking about here is just the basic concept of allowing more parents the basic freedom to choose what's best for their child. And we can talk about all these different arguments, but it comes back to that.
Yeah, and maybe because we're so limited on time, Bob Peterson, it comes back to that. The parents should have that basic right to choose a school that they think will best serve their child.
I think that parents and students should have the right to high-quality schools, public schools that are open to all students, that serve all students, that are fully funded, and that are transparent in what they do and what and the problems they have, so that we as a community can work to build the quality public schools that are a foundation of your democracy. And to do that, I think we should not expand the voucher program, either in Milwaukee or around the state.
We'll leave it there for today. I'm sure we will talk more about this issue in the future. Bob Peterson, founding editor of Rethinking Schools and a fifth grade teacher in the Milwaukee School District, and Brett Healy, president of the MacGyver Institute, our two guests today, debating today's big question as to whether Wisconsin's school choice program should be expanded. Now you've heard our two guests, it's your turn. What do you think? You can sound off in a straw poll, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll give you 30 seconds to say yes, no, and why. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Should the school choice program be expanded in Wisconsin? Yes, no, and why or why not? 30 seconds for you if you want to participate in this sound off straw poll. Craig in Onalaska joins us first. Hi, Craig.
Good morning. I'm opposed to it because I feel in the long run property taxes are going to have to go up in order to support two school systems. I think that that it's incorrect for the taxpayer to be giving money to private systems. I think that we need to improve our public schools, and I think that a lot can be done in order to satisfy most parents. But
right. That's it. Sorry, Craig. 30 seconds, and we got you down. We appreciate it. Linda in Bristol. Hi, Linda.
Hi, yes, I'm against expanding this program. I feel that this is just another battlefield where, in particular, Republicans are trying to, you know, use that old philosophy of freedom of choice, et cetera. This is just going to hurt the public schools. This is the one area where those that are middle class, lower class, need to be able to compete. And a good education is key for everybody. Let's fix the schools, the public schools, and get away from this privatization. I'm totally against any funding of private schools.
There we go. Exactly 30 seconds. And our next caller is Brian in Green Bay. Hi.
Hi. I'm against expanding the school choice program. I think that the school choice programs don't necessarily take every student. It shows that they weed out kids with behavior issues and learning disabilities, and I'm against expanding it. Every kid deserves an education. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we have time for another caller, too. Richard in Pigeon Falls, what do you think?
I am certainly against expanding school choice anywhere in Wisconsin. I think we have a strong public health, public education system here, and we need to beef that up. I think this is probably just a symptom of the Republican emphasis on dismantling public education.
All right, thanks very much. I'm going to give Mike in Milwaukee 10 seconds. That's all I have. Mike, what do you think?
I'm for school choice because the public school system had 20 years to get it together. It hasn't done it, and it's costing us a bundle.
Thank you very much. Well, you can continue voting online. Today's big question, should the school choice program be expanded in Wisconsin? Go to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or wpr.org/Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.